pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts in union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with the concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of the shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people's servant, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Good morning. I would like to call today's June 18th, 2019 Kendall County Board meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sesich.
Present.
Ms. Flowers.
Present.
Mr. Giles. Ms. Gilmore.
Here.
Mr. Greider.
Here.
Ms. Hendricks.
Here.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Here.
Ms. Vickers.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, if there are no additions or corrections to the board minutes from May 21st, 2019, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Flowers. Discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda to postpone 12B1 to the next county board meeting.
Twelve B one.
Yes.
The Comcast.
Yes. It is not ready yet.
Just remove it from the agenda.
Yeah.
Could you restate that to just remove from the agenda for today? Because right now we can't continue it.
All right. I will.
And then, as long as you're doing that, can you postpone item 11E until the state's attorney arrives?
Okay. 11E.
Eric has something he'd like to tell us all.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to remove from the agenda 12B1 and then postpone item 11E.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Hendricks. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special recognition, Juvenile Justice Council scholarship winners, and Ryan Phelps, if you want to come on up. Thank you.
I want to come back there with you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All right. Just get out of the way.
Oh, you have the middle here.
Oh, all right. I feel important.
And I'm Ryan Phelps. On behalf of the Juvenile Justice Council, I am the committee chair. We always give out two $500 scholarships. We try to do that every year to graduating seniors in the area. This year, we did award two $500 scholarships. The first one is to Justin Allen, and he is a graduating senior at Oswego High School. Come on up. And he will be attending Millikan University, and we're proud to give him the $500 scholarship. Now, those were awarded at the Sky 5K, but we have a nice certificate for him. Come on, boys. There you go. Let's move this way. We'll get out of the way.
Can we get a nice
way there? We're
going to
drag you over.
All right.
Well, look at me.
Look at you.
Look at you.
No, right. Congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you.
And the other $500 scholarship was awarded to Samantha Reardon, and she is a graduate of Yorkville, and she will be attending the University of Kentucky. And go Cats. I don't know Millikan University. So.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. You get it? Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you so
much. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Public comment. Rec- record show there's no one. Executive session, there's not a need at this time. Old business? New business? May I have a motion to appoint Scott Gangler, Kendall County Board, term expiring November 30th, 2020?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Gilmore. And Scott, do you want to come up to the podium for a minute? Would just like to say a couple things, and then I'll let you talk for a minute if you want.
Do you want to recognize
him? Oh, I'm sorry. Tony Giles has joined us.
My apologies, Mr. Chairman.
You're okay. Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
Scott is a Yorkville resident, I believe lifelong Yorkville resident, former Oswego East teacher, where you had been a teacher for 13 years, and now are a financial advisor for Edward Jones as well. And Scott was somebody that just kind of had a refreshing look at things and a different perspective on some of the items facing our county. And at the end of the day, he just kind of shined through and felt like he'd be a good choice for our board. So with that, Scott, do you want to say anything? Or
I'd love
put
to
you on the spot immediately here.
No, that's right. No, it's just an honor and privilege to be able to be here today, and really look forward to moving this county forward and doing some great things for our residents of this county. It's a great county. We've done some great things over the year, so looking to continue that tradition and move along everybody that's worked so hard to make it as it is today. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Can I have a roll call for the appointment?
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Debbie will swear
you. You're really
in.
Hoping
Scott.
That went through, didn't you?
The clerk. You
need to be a little more vigilant.
Expecting you to ask questions on every item, like John Purcell previously did.
He's not listening to you
already. No, already, yeah.
I saw Scott.
We
got to
have nicknames or something.
Yeah.
I know.
Just go by SG.
That's Scott.
You're an SG, too?
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
All right, congratulations, and moving on. May have a motion to approve the release of claims in an amount of $500 for settlement of all claims in Joshua Orlando Scott versus Jennings et al., case number 18CV5460, pending in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Illinois.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Sussage, seconded by Flowers. Leslie, do you want to add on this? Or?
I think Dwight.
Sheriff Dwight Baird.
The one and only.
Good morning, Sheriff Whitebeard. I know we talked about this a while ago in executive session. It appears to be more of a nuisance amount. I would entertain any questions you may have other than what we've covered before.
Any questions on this? Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessich?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. Elected officials report and other department reports. Sheriff? Sure had you stay up there?
Thank you. I know we've been talking about this for about 6 months. The iPads, I believe, are finalized today and tomorrow. They will be in jail. A lot of good materials on that, education, religion, podcasts, stuff like that, opioid addiction, other addiction classes can all be on the iPad. So I believe they're going to be rolled out either later this morning or tomorrow at the latest. All the trial runs have been done. Everything is installed properly. So we're looking forward to that. It's been a long process, so we're excited about that. Second thing is, last week started our youth academy. Started last Tuesday. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Feel free to stop by. There's 18 participants in the academy, ending with the graduation on August 1st. I'll give you more information as that becomes available. But the kids seem to be having a great time. I know staff is having a great time with the interaction with the kids. A lot of good questions have come up. And I know we've also partnered with other agencies within the county. I know the health department's involved in it. I saw the chief from the fire protection district. He has the children for a week where they're going to learn CPR, get certified in that, and other first aid stuff. So we're excited about the partnerships there. And also, Kendall County Probation is involved in this as well. So there's volunteered staff over to help supervise the youths when they're attending the academy. So with that, is there any other questions that you may have for me?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for putting this camp together, and your last comment there kind of stuck out with me when you said that they're learning CPR. You know, one of our plan commission members recently saved someone's life on the train heading to Chicago when he was having a heart attack, and he was able to perform CPR for 10 minutes and brought him back. So these skills are things that are really important and are life-saving, if you see Ruben, make sure that you let him know that we recognize him.
Yeah.
Wow. 10 minutes, performing CPR for 10 minutes is
that's hard.
Physical feat.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The longest I've done is 20 minutes, and felt like I ran a marathon.
Yeah, he's very humble about it, too.
Wow.
Yeah. It was,
yeah, he put it on Facebook. It was really neat.
Yeah. Anyway. Thank you, Sheriff. County Clerk.
My revenue report is in the packet. In the next month or two, we will be doing our voter registration purge, where we will send out voter ID cards to every single person that is a registered voter in Kendall County to make sure that they are at the correct address. So that is a process that takes a couple of months. Once it begins, we'll let you know for sure when the cards go out.
Thank you. Treasurer, Ms. Furco.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My six-month report to submit and to
Thank
have
you.
On file. It's no different than what is emailed to you from Bob every month, and that is up on the website as well. Let's see. The month of June so far, we've had a very busy month in our office. We had our first installment of property taxes on the 11th, so we always have quite a bit of traffic through our office. As well as doing a lot of work on a new county software. So we've had several training sessions so far and more scheduled for next week. And pretty much there's about 2 weeks of training every month until we go live in December. So it is quite a bit. Right now, it's just kind of been our office and a couple of other departments. But coming up in July, we will start getting everyone from every department in on the trainings. Each department has had to sign what we call a power user. So they will be fully trained on. So everyone in each department will have somebody that is fully trained on the system. So I think, like I said, I think everyone so far has been really good about it. Just a lot of questions and a lot of unknowns at this point, but we're working through them. So, but it'll be a lot of work this year, and hopefully, once we get everything in, it'll definitely pay off. So, keeping busy with those things. Other than that, I think the rest. revenue report is in the packet. Things are looking good with that. So.
Question for you on state sales tax. One of the mayors had asked me about this, one of the newer mayors.
Are you kidding me?
not the one you're thinking.
Oh, not the one you're thinking.
Really?
You
can't
get away.
Is
He's
the state?
Already asked me several questions.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think he's doing a lot of comparing. That's why.
Yeah. Is the state behind on their?
They're not behind. They are a little slow. You know, I don't think they're behind. It's just we're not seeing as much now, whether or not that. But they are coming in on time.
Okay. So it's just maybe as a symptom of things, okay.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Ms. Henry.
I just thought of this. So if you bring on a new person, how much training are they going to need to be able to use that system?
It shouldn't be a lot. And the whole, the way this system works is that you have your power user in each department. So that person will train the new user, and it should not take that long at all.
Okay, so are you going to have any formal training via the software provider done or no?
Oh, yeah.
People, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there can be. They have this new software has what they call Tyler U, which is Tyler University, basically, where everybody can log on and go through and watch videos and take the classes on their own as well.
So that won't incur an additional cost for training.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else for Jill? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, it's a coroner. Oh, Levi.
Levi's here.
For the coroner's office for the month of May, we were down to 21 total cases, 19 were for natural. The cases of note for May for next year, or for this year, sorry, were May 14th of 2019, we had a 39-year-old male for a shotgun over the head, and then May 16th of 19, a 100-year-old female that had a traumatic subdural hematoma due to a fall in the home. Our public relations activity on the first, coroner herself facilitated life support, which we do every month for overdose related death. On the 6th, I did a war tour for IVIC students. On the 21st, I attended a crime scene preservation class through the Illinois State Police in Beamer. We were audited on the 29th for the Illinois Violent Reporting Death System, which we do on a quarterly basis. And we had a total of 17.5 community service hours served in our facility by court services.
Any questions for Levi? Thank you. Health Department.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just also wanted to follow up on what Chief Baird was talking about with regard to the Youth Academy. The Health Department is honored to be working with the Sheriff's Office this week. We have the lovely young people with us 2 days this week, and there's three parts of the training they're going to receive, but we're really excited about it. The first part is they're going to receive actually an abbreviated training of what we give law enforcement on mental health training. First responder self-care and autism. So they'll receive an abbreviated version of that. The second piece will be on leadership and their own self-development. And the third piece will be examining the areas of work that we do in mental health that actually cross over with criminal justice and look to reduce recidivism. So they're going to be able to hear examples of that. I think part of the purpose of the Sheriff's Youth Academy is to support youth in their own career thinking and future career development. So we're really pleased to be able to contribute a little bit to that.
That's great. Thank you. Supervisor of Assessments, Mr. Nick Letty.
Formal today.
I have nothing.
I was doing Ms. for everybody, so I thought I should.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Just Andy.
Nothing in particular. We're keeping busy with stuff upstairs. It's quieted down a little bit now that tax bills have been paid and that. So going to be sending out some disabled persons renewal forms here probably early July. I'll have more on that next month. I have numbers in that for you. So other than that, just keep you busy. So.
Questions for Andy? There's about
Thank
it.
You, sir.
Thank you. Standing committee reports, planning, building, and zoning, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of petition 1913, request from the Kendall County Regional Planning Commission for tax amendment to sections 4.06 and 4.07 of the Kendall County Zoning Ordinance by allowing research and development related home occupations to be conducted outside of a dwelling or permitted accessory structure and adding the phrase unless otherwise permitted by law to the end of section 4.06F and 4.07G.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Gilmore. Can you tell us?
Mr. Chairman, this item, the agenda briefing is on page 24 of your packets. This originally deals with a request from someone that is actually a home inventor and was looking to test his invention as part of his home occupation, but came to the conclusion after reading our zoning ordinance that he cannot, because he can't take his business, his home-based business, outside. So the Zoning Commission, the Planning, Building, Zoning, ZPAC, and ZBA all recommended a change to the ordinance to allow this to take place.
I see this was a split vote at the committee level. Was there, who was the dissenter?
I was the dissenter.
Ms. Flowers.
I just think this opens the door to a lot of unintended uses. I do not agree with this. I think the invention at hand was gun related. Is that correct?
Yeah. That would be correct.
Mm-hmm. They were inventing
Can you say
weapons.
That again?
They were inventing weapons.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mr. Prochaska.
The person had applied to the, I believe it was the ATF, for a permit to be allowed to design and invent guns to be able to then sell to different corporations. He was looking for the ability to test it as he could any other gun on his property. He lives in an unincorporated area of Kendall County. And so then the Comprehensive Land Plan and Ordinance Committee decided to that if you're allowed to do something anyway, why should we prohibit it if you're a home-based business occupation?
So would this apply to take that specific example out of the equation, and what else would this apply to? Because when you said the inventor, you know, I'm thinking like the mad scientist. That's what my daughter's at home now. You know, she does the slime and all that stuff. That's what I had.
If you wanted to make a better telescope and you made a invented a new type of telescope in your garage, you would not be able to test it outside under the current zoning ordinance.
Any other questions on
yes.
this item? Ms. Sessage?
So let me understand. So he's already has a business now. He tests his weapons, or no, he does not.
He does not have a business because he did not get the permit from ATF, because we could not sign off that he was in compliance with county zoning.
If he was in compliance with county zoning, then he still has to go back to the ATF to get
yes.
further approval.
So what is this changing exactly, that he is able to test this outside
of
his home?
Mr. Jeff.
What it is changing is saying that if it is legal to do anyway under the law, that you can extend your home-based business outside to test or to do other legal activities.
Is Matt Osselmeyer here? No, you're hiding back there.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, could you just explain to us how this changes what the code currently says? And
so in the case of the proposed guy who wanted to invent a new gun, He would not have been able to shoot that firearm outdoors as part of his business. He would and can go outside and discharge a gun on his property. He can invite a friend over to discharge a gun on his property. He cannot invite a quote-unquote customer or somebody who is going to pay him money to come on his property and discharge a gun. And so what this, if this passed, what this would allow to happen is if somebody has a business and they want to conduct that business outdoors partially, they'd be allowed to do that.
So right now it leads to a situation where, you know, it's him and his friend, quote unquote, firing the gun, and this would make it more would legalize what he's trying
right.
to
do. Right, and he also, since he's zoned A, in that case he does have an accessory structure. He could have done that business inside that accessory structure. If he didn't have an accessory structure, he's zoned A1, he could have constructed one and could have conducted the business inside that building.
So selling firearms is okay in Ag 1? Is that where?
Not
so
selling, right?
He's going to be able to sell if we pass this.
He was going to develop a firearm and sell the patent to some entity.
But he's not selling the firearm.
He was not selling the quote-unquote specific firearm.
So I guess I don't understand why we would even have to change this. I mean, other than him testing it out, he's not selling the actual firearm. He's wanting to sell the patent. Why couldn't he just go to a firing range and demonstrate it there? I'm just trying to understand, why we would change that.
In the case of a home occupation, it has to be conducted inside the dwelling or permitted accessory structure. So he couldn't have necessarily gone to a firing range because then he'd be going off-site for his home occupation.
But he's not selling anything. He's demonstrating the weapon's use.
Right. In that specific case, yes. He was demonstrating the weapon.
Okay. Ms. Hedricks.
I'm not even sure how this affects his home use of business use of home tax question. This is a slippery slope, and I don't care for it at all. It sets a precedent for other home-based activity that might be really not okay. This is a research and development. You know, you can research and develop a lot of things that shouldn't leave your house or maybe even be done in your home. So I'm a no.
I'm just having a hard time understanding, I guess. And Mr. Kellogg, I'll let you're on the committee.
Well, I wasn't at the meeting, unfortunately. But one day we could plan it this year. could you address other home-based businesses that might exist that currently are operating outdoors that are not in compliance with our original? Do you have any examples other than the guns?
I don't know if there's anything that's currently operating. The telescope example is one. If somebody wanted to work on a Wi-Fi system or a radio type system where they want to be outdoors, that's another one potential. If somebody wanted to work on an engine or something related to a car or vehicle, but they needed to be outdoors to
So if you're a mechanic and you're working on a vehicle in the driveway of the home-based business, that opens it up, or what does this do?
That would open it up.
For only legal ones. We're not talking the Boulder Hill run amok.
No, they'd have to be.
Yeah.
This is purely for research and development, so somebody would actually have to say, I am researching and developing
okay.
a new way to
it's
do
very
something.
Specific. Okay.
This is only for ag? Or is
no,
this
is for both.
So this would apply.
And ag.
Oh. Okay.
4.06 is ag and 4.07 is residential.
Ms. Gilmore.
So, and then Matt, in the future, if this were to pass, then each new business that wanted to do this type of outdoor testing for research and development, they would have to come to the committee and then to the county board for approval?
No. The home occupation does not have to go to the county board or any other review. They sign the application saying they're going to be a home occupation, that they agree to follow the rules that are in the zoning ordinance, and then they go from there.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Sessage.
No. It was me.
She's actively, listening. Ms. Vickers.
Is there a way, I assume now they could make a special use request to do this? Is there a special use for home occupancy businesses?
There they could ask for a variance to the requirement that it be conducted indoors or inside an accessory structure.
Okay, so there's a way to allow it case by case rather than just blanket where then there's no really no oversight.
As it currently exists, you mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Jensen?
I will say what we're adding is the phrase unless otherwise permitted by law. So we're saying that if you can already do something on your own in your own private capacity, if you're doing this for research and development purposes, you can still do that in your private capacity. We're not giving anyone any additional authority that if they were a private citizen doing this on their own, they wouldn't already have.
So this is basically adding the language saying if it's illegal though, you cannot do that.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's different. All right.
Mr. Kellogg.
So if they have a home-based business, they're under tighter rules than an ordinary citizen is what you're saying.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Ms. Henriksen.
Well, the tighter rules apply only for research and development, and I still think this is a slippery slope, because if you want an example of how legislation and regulation doesn't keep up with the times, technology is a huge example. So I don't feel like that, even though it says unless otherwise prohibited, is safe enough, because many things that are being developed aren't yet illegal or regulated. So I don't think that's wise to allow it unless it's otherwise. I think Ms. Vickers has the proper stance, which is that if you need to do something like that, we already have a mechanism in place, the special use permit, and to do it blanket like this is a bit dangerous.
Ms. Flowers?
I voted no in committee. I'm going to vote no again. It's not a good situation. If you want to come before the board, give us the details of your business, get a special ordinance. Again, that's I would be willing to hear that information on a case-by-case basis. I don't think a blanket ordinance is a good idea. I voted no. I'm going to vote no again.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this? Roll call.
Mr. Gangler?
Present.
Mr. Giles?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
No.
Ms. Sussich?
No.
Ms. Flowers?
No.
So you have 5 nays, 4 ayes, and 1 present.
Motion fails. 5-4-1. Thank you. You haven't even split one like that in a while.
We have not.
I think it's my first one.
Yeah.
Admin HR. Mr.
Chairman, I'd like to seek the approval of petition 1922, request from the Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee to amend the fee schedule of the Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Department by establishing deposit and rental terms for the 2012 National Rifle Association Range Source Book.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sussich. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes. All ayes. Thank you. Anything else for PDZ? Mr. Prochaska?
No, sir.
Admin HR, Ms. Flowers.
We have a motion. I would like a motion to approve the Pitney Bowes SEMPRO 1500 mailing system for the 60-month contract for Kenny Office Building in the amount of $496.66 per month.
Second.
Scott, motion by Flowers, seconded by Gilmore.
Do you want to give the, if anybody wants details of that, it's a really great contract for us.
Yeah, it was discussed at committee, and our current mail machine is about up and due. We would like to get a replacement mail machine. This one will give us additional ability to do FedEx and UPS packages on the mail machine. It also uses less types of ink. It only does red and black, which is all we really use. And unfortunately, now we have to swap out the color ink, even if it's not been used, just because of aging and the way the contract works. So that's going to save some money additionally as well. I did, in the packet on page 48, it's the lease price comparing 36-month lease to 60-month lease. It's about $150 more a month at the 36-month level. This was unanimous from committee. I thought I had sent an agenda briefing, apparently I didn't, I apologize. But there was some concerns. It was the contract was sent to the attorney's office. The only thing that came back was on leases. The time frame is okay, but on the service agreement that runs alongside the lease, it's a lot more gray. That's what I got back from Jim Webb. But otherwise, the contract was fair.
Any other questions on this? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
I need a motion to approve an agreement between Kendall County and the GIS Inc. for a 30-hour support block in the amount not to exceed $5,000.
Second.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Hendricks. Scott?
Yeah, if I could have Megan come up. A couple things she can talk to you about this contract of the house, but I would like to introduce Josh, the newest member of the GIS department, really quick, if you don't mind.
He waves.
Welcome, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
This is Josh Carlson. He came from Racine, Wisconsin, and I started this last week.
Will County native, so.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, homeboy, family's nearby as well.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
So do you have any questions about, or I can explain it?
If you want to explain it.
Sure. So this is a 30-hour support block. They are going to assess our system and give us options as to how to move to the cloud. They have estimated that assessments will only take 10 to 15 hours, which provides us with that much more the rest of the 30 hours to apply towards deployment and support. That's what it is.
Ms. Hendricks.
Can you just tell the board the financial gains that will be realized by doing this?
I'll have to actually pass that to all of you.
The thinking behind doing the cloud readiness assessment is one, to modernize the system and to make us more forward where the industry is going. Two would be if we do go to the cloud, we would be on either Microsoft or Esri's hardware. They are gigantic corporations that have security that far exceeds ours and ability to do that, as well as uptime, because if we have outages here, we're much more prone to something happening than they are because they're spread out across the country. So instead of buying servers all the time, we'd be paying an annual fee to move to the cloud and put our information and data up there. It also then will stick with, as a new iPhone comes out, it's going to work better like that than rather than us having to do more manual updates here, hopefully.
Ms. Hendrickson?
And then another benefit of that, aside from having to purchase those servers, is as a result, we are always on the latest technology.
I did have one quick mention on the legal aspect of this. The smallest block they offer is this 30-hour block, and we're buying 30 hours for $5,000, and it's use it or lose it, just to mention that. To the board, we fully anticipate using all of it as part of the study, and then later when we do make moves to the cloud or let's do other updates, it's an excellent company, and we look at funding that.
Okay, thank you. We'll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you. And welcome again to Josh. Back to you, Liz.
I'm making a motion to approve the Kendall County Administrative Services Organizational Chart.
Second.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Hendricks. Mr. Keppel?
This is a small change to the organizational chart. We will be, as you may not have known, Jonathan got a new job from the GIS department. He has moved to the Rockford area, and Chris Ballard retired. So that Josh came in Chris's spot. Megan took the opportunity. We lost a lot of history, a lot of people in the department that we liked. We had the opportunity to make some changes. And as the next agenda item is the GIS Cadastral Specialist job description, the change to the org chart is simply to take the two positions in GIS other than Megan's and to just have two of one position rather than two separate positions. And to simplify a little bit, be able to distribute the work more evenly. And then as we're updating and changing the technologies, we thought that these positions were a better fit. And also then to go out and advertise them.
There's someone.
Scott, do you have a copy of that org chart?
I apologize, I thought it was not long for the packet. I can get copies printed off, but it's a really small change on the GIS to go from two positions to But I can get that, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions on this? Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. I got some halls over. All right.
Okay, and then making a motion to approve the GIS cadastral specialist job description.
Second.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Gilmore. Have anything else to add?
This is a kind of an amalgam of the two previous jobs, put together a job description, and then a couple of duties taken from King County job descriptions. And it was discussed and reviewed.
Thank you. Questions? Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
And then finally, a motion to approve the ordinance amending Article 4 of the Kendall County Board of Rules of Order pertaining to agenda.
Second.
Motion by Flowers, seconded by Hendricks. Mr. Keppel?
Okay, starting on page 62 of your packet is the agenda briefing. There was discussion at HR Admin a couple, probably about a half ago, about the possibility of adding a consent agenda. So that, starting then on page 67 of your packet, it will show what the agenda would look like with the consent agenda included as number 8, and then adding approval of previous month's minutes and standing committee minutes on the consent agenda as examples and of things that would probably be on a consent agenda. The next page 68, has details of items C, D, and E are all new to the board rules work, and they explain how the consent agenda works, and also how items are placed on the county board agenda, which has previously been off how we operate, but it has previously not been in the board.
Thank you, and as a reminder, this is the a change to our board rules of order, which does require a two-thirds vote, which means we'll have to be 7 in the affirmative for this item. Any questions?
Seven.
We have 10 here now.
So confusing.
I know. All right, welcome.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you.
Real quickly, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind.
Yes, Mr. Kellogg.
I just wanted to note that previously we had had the county board report on the website. I don't know if that was just an website or something, I have not noticed, but it'll be on underneath the county board page. We're going to add the board rules of order so that it's very accessible to the public.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Weiss, the esteemed state's attorney, has joined us. Following back up to the item 11E.
My apologies, and I'm moving over trials. I don't mean to be. There's a natural delays in the trials. First of all, congratulations, Scott.
Thank you.
Got your nameplate, so I just.
It's official.
Hoping the vote went well. Don't know what happened. Congratulations, but you know, it's whichever one you want. There's a topic that I wanted to be talking about. I haven't had a chance to get over here to have the conversation as much as I wanted to, but I wanted, after a couple things that happened in the last week or two, and I know that the committee assignment just came down, so I'm going to look at you, because I've had this discussion with your predecessor. It is time that Kendall County gets a mental health board. I talked to Robin about this, and this is not a which side of the aisle you're on. This is not an issue for that. This is a reality of what we are dealing with in our county. I've been trying to get a mental health court started for a long time, and I will tell you some of the frustrations that I've had, and I apologize, I'm talking a little bit fast, and I'm going to try to make sure that I get back over where I need to be. When we have a drug court, we all know how drug court has come into Kendall County. We all know that it's been successful. We all know that it's diverting people that would normally go to the Department of Corrections, to receive treatment, those that complete the program, you know, we hope we never see them again, those that don't complete the program, those people obviously will end up in prison anyway. So, again, you're not losing anything. I have a different opinion about mental health work. For the most part, people with mental health problems don't choose to be mentally ill, okay? And so we see the frustration of there's millions of dollars being spent to treat drug addicts. Probably more than, probably billions of dollars. But we see that there is funding. We see that there are programs. You can look at any television commercial. You can look at any radio spot. You can look at any newspaper ad. And there's something for people with drug addiction. Mental health services, and I know we have our Kendall County Health Department, which is one of our,
isn't that mine for 30 days?
In the court. It's a good way to get rid of it. You know, we have our County kind of Health and Human Services, which is a great resource to have. But it's one of the few resources that we have regarding mental health treatment. And here's my frustration. We get someone, and we've had multiple, even just in the last couple of weeks, that we've had come through the system. They're charged with what are relatively minor crimes, but they have a severe mental health problem. So we have two alternatives. We can either release them back into the public, which is not good for the public, or we house them and incarcerate them in our county jail, which is not good for them, not good for our jail either, but it's not good for them because they're not going to get all the treatment that they need. So that's our choice in the criminal side, is release them back out where our victims and society deals with them, with no treatment, no way to order them to get treatment, no way to medicate them, no way to get them the services they need. We incarcerate them. And we have a big enough jail, but we can incarcerate them if that's the choice the board and society wants us to do. It's not a good one, but it's an alternative. The reality is that coming this year, and we can't depend and wait on the state to do something or give us funding for it or decide how we're going to do it, is the county's going to have to budget for that. There's a cost to treating people with mental health problems. They don't have money for the most part. Insurance covers some of it, but the reality is there are upfront costs. There's someone's got to run the program. Someone's got to make sure they're getting the treatment. Someone's got to monitor the treatment. Someone, you know, Health and Human Services may need additional resources. And I'm not going to speak to what they need or don't need, but it's time that Kendall County addresses these issues. It's no one's fault on the board. I don't mean it that way. I don't mean to be some accusatory, but it has gone on long enough that we have not addressed those issues. I can keep putting them in jail. I mean, that's if you want to house mentally ill people in jail, that's the alternative. It's not a good alternative. It's not what I'm recommending you do with these people. It costs money, though. You know, we're not talking like $1,000 or a little small office somewhere. I mean, you're going to be looking at a six-figure number, right? And I know that right now that's not a popular thing to spend money. I'm not advocating to spend money, but when you look at the cost that we have to incarcerate individuals, whether it's here or the Department of Corrections, if you look at the cost on society, it's a drop in the bucket compared to what it actually is going to be. If you don't treat some of these individuals, not everyone with mental illness is a violent offender. Please don't assume that. But there are a few that are. If you don't treat the mental health problems when they exist and when we were aware of it, you're going to have a very severe situation. We've had a couple of calls in Kendall County. I don't want to be in front of you explaining why we've had a massacre, or we've had a horrific event, or a bombing, or whatever the worst thing you can think of happens in Kendall County. We have the means to be able to do it. The question is now, how do we get it done? I am willing to take on the role of pushing things where it needs to. Always the most diplomatic when I do things. I don't care. If it needs to get done, it needs to get done. I've let drug court get up and running to show that it can work, that the process does work, but we're not getting those people that have mental health treatment in that same type of program the drug addicts are in. And to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. From the standpoint of the person that is in charge of prosecuting those cases, that doesn't make sense. So, I'm not asking for money today. I'm not asking for tomorrow, but I'm going to be asking it in the fiscal year that it, not through my budget, but that the county start budgeting with the court system, with court services, with Health and Human Services, with Public Defender's Office, and obviously the chief judge, that we figure out a way to address that problem. because if you don't address the problem, you'll have to explain it to somebody at some point, and you won't want to do that because it will be a bad situation you'll be explaining. So I'm here to answer a question. Again, I apologize for being cutting in. I appreciate you taking me out of turn. I apologize, I do have to get back for a trial. I'll try to answer any questions quickly or comments. And then
this is you know, something that as a board we've talked about, you know, mental illness, you know, many times over the years that I've been out here, and out here, you know, on the board. And there are, I think in the past there have been certain stigmas associated with that. And you know, one of the big things that I've seen is trying to break down that barrier, that it's, you know, it's real, mental health is real, and it's treatable, and it needs to, you know, you need treatment for it. And I'm by no means any expert. I just know, you know, I listen to what others say, and it just seems like, you know, what you say makes sense. And for us, though, it's always that, you know, where do we find it? Is there, in your experience, to your knowledge, even Amal, I'm looking at you a little bit in the back, is there any, are there any grants or, you know, monies available for mental health?
The problem with grants sometimes is that you have to have the population first before you can get the grant, and then you don't have the population, you can't get the grant. If you don't meet the grant population numbers, you got to pay the money back. And grants are a great thing. We have a grant for our drug court, and we're mandated to hit a certain population, and we do meet that population. That's something to look at. Timing-wise, you know, we're going to pass the fiscal year for the state, so we're looking at another full year before you receive the grant. That's my concern. And you know, again, I want to go back to something just real quick. I want to make sure. There are people with mental illnesses that are extremely violent that should be in the Department of Corrections. I'm not advocating for those people to be released, just so we're clear. There are certain people that have mental illnesses that are treatable. That's not what's causing them to commit the crime. Those people should, you know, go through the process just like everyone else. But there are others, and I had a mother and father in my office just this week, and just last week. I don't want to get into names, obviously, for purposes of respect their privacy, but are just at their wit's end. You know, he's not taking his medication. He's in the criminal justice system. They think he's going to prison for the rest of his life, and that's not where he needs to be. And fortunately, we've been able to get him through a different process into the state system at Elgin, but it's a temporary fix. It's not a permanent solution to try to treat this. So it doesn't go away quickly. If you think you're going to cure the problem in 3 months, it's not going to happen.
What is your estimation as to how many would be affected by this? It's
hard to tell because I don't spend as much time in the misdemeanor courtroom as I do the felony courtroom, but I can think of today at least 10 cases in the criminal felony division that at least should be screened for this process. And that's just pending right now. That doesn't count what's been through the system already so far this year. I'm not saying each one of those would meet that criteria or each one of those would need that type of intense treatment, but I can tell you that there were three in the last 2 weeks that I know for sure that could benefit from that type of program. And again, the alternative is to incarcerate them. That's how we make sure they don't get out to harm any other
kids. I had to get my questions in.
I couldn't tell if you were acknowledging me. So he tells me you don't acknowledge it.
Yeah, I can't see the left for some reason. Only the right.
Oh, man. Bump, bump, bump. Yeah.
This came up in a meeting on an entirely different topic with Eric, and we were both, I think, very thrilled that we both cared about this happening. This is one of the things that I really wanted to see accomplished if I was elected to the board. I used to serve on the board of NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, for Kane, Kendall, and DeKalb. Kane County has mental health court, and it's tremendously successful. And while I was on the board there, I kept saying, why can't we do this in Kendall? Why can't we do this in Kendall? And there just wasn't anyone here that had a relationship to facilitate it. So they also help support it financially. NAMI does. So there's non-state or federal governmental grants money also available. So as he gets going, I'll be happy to put him in touch, Eric in touch with.
I think we have a volunteer.
She's like, me.
Yeah, that's the appointment.
I'm not here to tell you your point, but
It's something I'm really passionate about, because there's, we do CIT training now for crisis intervention, which is fantastic, because a lot of times law enforcement approaches someone who looks like they're violent or not paying attention or being disrespectful, and really it's a mental illness or a developmental delay. Mm-hmm. So we now have educated our officers to deal with that, but now it's time to bring it to the court side so that they're not suffering. Honestly, they suffer in jail. So,
Ms. Hendricks.
So this is a topic I'm very glad you're bringing it, and I think we should formally task perhaps the Judicial Legislative Committee with getting that groundwork laid and getting this in place. And it's something I've commented on in the past in regards to the Public Health Department and the mental health services that they provide, and why that department is so incredibly important to the county. So I hope you will remember that at budget time, as well as not task them with this and not giving them the proper funds to do it. And I say that because, you know, everybody's here today, yes, yes, let's do it, and then budget time comes, and decisions are made that essentially equate to an unfunded mandate for a department that we're already fiscally pressuring. So this is a brilliant idea. I would love it if the health department would partner with them, since they already have a lot of expertise in that area, but I would like to see us formally, perhaps today, task the Judicial Legislative Committee with starting down that road. I agree with the state's attorney.
Ms. Hesich?
I just had a quick comment, because I know you have to go, Eric, but I wanted to say you're beautifully right. It's well past time. It's time. The time is now. We are here. So when being on the board, and as board members, we always look for the funds to do these things, and of course, you know, as everything's tight, and you, like you said, we don't spend money just to spend money, but to have your support, to have you come here and say, we need to do this, and the time is now, that goes a long way, so thank you.
Make the ultimate decision on how much money you spend or don't spend. Right. Again, I'm going to continue to do my job one way or the other, whether the resource is there or if it's not. I prefer to address the issue. Unfortunately, we'll deal with whatever resources we have available from that standpoint. I know when I was an assistant state's attorney, we had that same frustration level. We just didn't have the population. We just didn't have the numbers to justify creating a special report, and especially, of course, we're sorry to date myself a little bit now when it comes to before I was state's attorney, but just really wasn't something that was addressed. It really didn't have the, at least in smaller counties, even Kane and Page, for example, didn't have those type of treatment courts. And again, this is not for everybody. This is not for anybody who just says, well, now I have a mental illness, I want to get out of responsibility. That is not what it's not what this court is designed for. It's when I can look at somebody and go, we need to get somebody to look at. I'm not a trained professional either. I don't have a background in any of that. I've been in law enforcement for 20 plus years. When I can look at it, which is the same as what the judge is looking at, which is the same as what the officer is looking at, which is the same as what the family is trying to do, and they have that background, you know, we can continue to ignore it, or we can actually do something about it. You know, I've been fortunate to be here long enough that most of my pet projects that I've been trying to get done over the years are done. You know, this is one of them that I've been looking at for a long time, and you know, sometimes it's just the catalyst of seeing it over and over again, and nothing changes, that you just got to say something. So I'm not trying to make this a Republican or Democrat thing either. I don't mean to do that. That's not my point, and I'm not trying to get into the whole funding issue either about how or where we do it. That is not my point. I'm just telling you that it's a problem that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, and it's for the benefit of the whole county. It's not just for the benefit of just these individuals who will benefit. It's for those people that aren't going to have to deal with it, including our police officers who are going to encounter these individuals in a situation where it can get really violent really fast, and we don't want to see that happen.
Mr. Kellogg, did you have a question?
No, I'm just thinking through all the different funds and how, you know, a lot of questions that the judicial legislation can get to us to finance as quick as possible for the new budget to figure out which funds we can use the money from.
And that's why I wanted to bring it to you now, and I asked the judge to give me a few minutes, and we have some other issues going on there with that trial, and not actually delaying the trial at this point. There's some other things going on with the defense attorney, but was because I know the budget season is coming up, and I nothing worse than, hey, in November, tell me when you need the funding, or January, worse, when I pass the budget. So I want to get this out there, and I know it's summertime, and all the things going on. Sometimes we can't all make good meetings, so I want to make sure I would get this as soon as I could. and get even last week, it was kind of like, you know, there's a different something coming up. We do this in Leslie's and civil division, deal with the involuntary commitments for those individuals, and it's, first of all, it's a lengthy process, but also it's a time consuming, and they see the impact of the families that are having to deal with the situation for those, even those that aren't in the prison systems. Sorry.
The chairman of the LJL committee, Mr. Zhao.
Well, I think this is a fantastic idea. I mean, it's like Will County's had this for over 20 years. Just the other day at H&E, we were talking about recidivism, and this would be a great way to cut down on that and address those. And, you know, like our state's attorney said, and we're not talking about like the violent crimes. We're looking at more like, you know, access one disorders, which are, you know, access two, you're looking at something more violent, like, you know, an avoidant personality disorder where maybe the change really can't happen there. But we're looking at things where maybe like a person with like bipolar or something like that who is, who needs treatment, needs medication, but maybe they're writing bad checks all over the county or something like that, you know. And so that's something that's going to keep happening. So if we can, you know, get them the treatment they need, and then again, treatment medication is, you know, keeping them on that is another thing. But I mean, taking those steps, I think, is incredibly important. And I commend you for the comment you made, which was basically comparing, you know, why are we doing something different for mental health than we are, like your example, for a drug court and for physical health. If someone walked in with a broken arm and the bone sticking out, we'd be like, oh my gosh, you gotta get some treatment for that. And then they said, nah, yeah, right. Treatment for that. And if she did, then we'd be like, oh, there's, what, why aren't you getting treatment for that? But for mental health, sometimes we don't always see it that way. Sometimes we see it as, oh, you know, I just think positive thoughts or I get my way through it. And that's not really the case. They should be viewed as the same. Getting treatment for something physical versus something mental should be viewed the same. So thank you very much for being aware of that.
Ms. Harris?
I think the state's attorney made a very good opening remark that we all need to always remember is that mental health is involuntary, and I cannot think of anything more terrifying than to be a person who's losing control of their brain. Like, that's, think about that, how terrifying that would be. And one of the issues, particularly with bipolar disorder, where a court situation is actually very helpful, is the frequency with which patients with that particular mental illness won't take medication. It's very difficult to get them to voluntarily stay on their medication. And so sometimes a legal intervention is required just to get them to do what they should be doing voluntarily. And it's not that they're being obstinate. It's part of the mental illness that's afflicting them. It's totally involuntary.
Anything else?
So whoever you or wherever you assign it, I would be happy to assist. I'm not looking to run the program. That's, again, not my issue, but it's something that wherever you assign it to, and I'm sure there's many others that need to be involved other than just our office, but I'm happy to assist if I can. Again, I'm not sure what I'd like to do, but I'm waiting if he's ready to. I'll be at other meetings. If you have questions, you feel free to email me, whatever you need to, and after, and we can start the process. If you appoint,
yeah, it sounds like
the law justice, I will speak to them. If there's anybody else who's interested, please just let me know. So,
Scott, you can kind of help us quarterback this.
Yep, thanks for getting the information. I'm also going to reach out to Kane's court administrator and see if I can find out some detailed information with her.
And like I said, right now we have a drug court coordinator, not volunteering her services, but we have somebody who's actually going to start that process. Again, the resource that we can use. I sit on the drug court team, and I know how the process works and what we do with those individuals. And several of those people probably should be in that health court, not drug court, but that's, they're self-medicating themselves, so they go to drug court.
Well, is there any possibility of combining the two?
It's possible. I don't want to speak for the judiciary and say, hey, we're going to designate somebody who's a ARR-funded position to do other services, because you have to spend so much time doing so many things to lose your funding. Back to the whole grant issue.
That could help us with our funding, potentially, though.
Yeah, so, and that's why I want to make, I don't want to commit some. It's something we should explore, because we're not that overcrowded with numbers in either court that we could do that. But I don't want to speak for someone who's funding, you know, I don't want to tell you, hey, any $100,000, and you just lost $100,000 because you took that person over there.
And the comorbidity between mental health and substance abuse is astronomical. I mean, it's almost hand in hand at certain levels. So, you know, in some cases it may be able to fall under either, or we can get that, because the health department does their counseling, approaches both, at the same time, which is unusual, then we can get them help kind of either way.
And yeah, I would say over half of the people that are in Brookport seek mental health treatment, and a part of the mental health treatment as part of that, their treatment for their addiction. So again, it's not uncommon from the set that reason that they're drug addicts is because they're using something to help medicate in the first place. So it goes back to a mental health issue, you know, underlying cause, how they got there. So, Ben, sorry, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to go.
All right.
If you guys have questions, feel free to continue.
Thank you.
Ms. Eric. Ms. Harris.
And I just want to make, even though we're here at the county level, I just wanted to make the remark for the record and for awareness that this is what happens when you declare a war on drugs instead of treating mental illness and drug abuse. It's not, we shouldn't be going after people with these issues as a war on it. We should be treating it.
Thank you. Highway. May I have a motion to approve ordinance establishing an altered speed limit of 50 miles per hour on Van Ammon Road beginning a quarter mile east of Woodland Drive and extending easterly to Illinois Route 71.
Second.
I guess I'll make that motion. And then second by Gilmore. Fran, do you want to talk about the necessity for lowering the speed limit on Van Ammon?
They love this. Yeah,
it's just great. Because I will get a lot of calls about it.
Scott. Just remind him that John Purcell, his predecessor, was a really strong advocate of the Mitchell Road connection.
We were wanting this clean slate.
Yeah, way to go, Fran.
It was kind of odd. We had a couple of complaints about no speed limit signs on Van Ammon, and it was an unposted road coming off of 71. But we thought we'd take a look at it just because it's pretty curvilinear and limited sight distances, and when we did a speed study, it came in at 50 mile an hour. So this would be a reduction from 55 to 50, so not a big deal.
Is that a word, Fran, curvilinear?
Curvilinear is a word.
It's something new.
Just similar for a little bit.
Yeah.
That could be
from here regardless.
Don't say that again, please. Yeah. Right. Makes me twitch a little bit.
So that the traffic studies have shown that this is necessary.
Correct. For
an
altered speed limit, lowering it 5 miles
to 50. Okay. Do we have a deer sign out there, by the way?
I see them along there all the time. We don't put those up very frequently just because we can't get the deer to cross where we put the signs up.
So you can work on that for us.
They just don't pay attention.
Perhaps they need a sign.
Yeah. That's right, they don't know where to go.
I'm just a chatty person this morning, but I drive that road all the time because that's the path I take to get to the tumbling practice.
Oh, yeah.
And I refuse to take it home at night because people drive too fast on it, and it is so curvy, and it's not easy to see the road. It's curvilicious. It's not easy to see the road markings on it, and it's particularly when it's raining. Like, if it was me, I'd set the speed limit at 40. Honest to God, it's so precarious. Especially at night.
That road is scheduled for a complete rehab next year, so we'll have new surface, new markings, and everything in 2020.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Yeah, I.
What's going around?
It's contagious.
Yeah. Choked on my own spit.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. I'll make the motion, I guess. I'll make a motion to approve a preliminary engineering services agreement between Kendall County and Crawford, Murphy, and Tilley, Inc. to provide a feasibility study of the intersection of Galena Road, Kennedy Road, Mill Road at a cost not to exceed $20,000, said fund to be taken from the transportation sales tax fund. Second by Kellogg. Fran, do you want to just briefly touch on this?
Yeah, I can. And this is really kind of a unique opportunity to partner with the city of Yorkville essentially we're asking them to put the Mill Road improvements on pause while the county does a quick feasibility study to look at the intersections of Kennedy, Mill, and Galena, which is in our program anyway. But there's an opportunity perhaps to look at merging all of those intersections into a single roundabout type intersection. But we're not really sure of the feasibility of that. So CMT would look at that, see if it's feasible, see if it's the right thing to do to put all those together and do a single improvement. But that would require Yorkville to just take a little bit of a time out on their scheduled improvements on Mill Road. And so that's what this study's going to do. It's going to be a very quick thing that'll happen this summer to determine whether or what is the correct improvement at those intersections.
And I believe that the agreement says, is it August 1st or September 1st that they need to be, because I remember it was a quicker time frame than what the engineer would have liked.
We moved it up, yeah. Right, because we knew there was a tighter time schedule. And I want to point out, too, I've been invited to go to the Public Works Committee at the City of Yorkville tonight to talk about this project and the cooperation between both Kendall County and City of Yorkville.
Mr. Kelly?
I know Mill Road's kind of a disaster, and we talked at one point about helping get a skim coat on there as we look at this big improvement. The concern I know that the new administration in Yorkville has, and I personally have, is that the new Mill Road alignment that they're proposing dead ends into the ball field where all the kids are. That road has 5,000 or 6,000 people a day on it, car vehicles, so the idea of having a major road that dead ends into the entrance to Ball Field and Public Park doesn't sit well with me, and I know it doesn't with the new people in Yorkville. So if we can work together and make this intersection safe and not located at that particular spot, it would be really good, I believe.
Ms. Hatteras?
That's disturbing, right? If it does end there, is there a possibility of putting just like a series of massive boulders there to stop whatever might come off that road? I'm
probably
not even kidding. It's really cheap and very effective.
We have barricades.
So. We'll let Fran decide that.
The whole purpose of this is to look at the right thing to do. We don't want to miss an opportunity and spend.
No, I understand. But to this point, is there a possibility of the county pitching in to put some massive boulders at the end of that road?
It doesn't end there right now.
It doesn't end there now.
It doesn't end there now. And we would never want to put obstacles in the right of way that could possibly be viewed as, you know, something that could hurt the drivers. So,
yeah.
Probably
I'm not proposing it be put on the road. I'm proposing that it be something that would stop exactly what Mr. Kellogg described.
We could only put it in our right of way that we control, and we don't want to do
okay,
that.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Can we do that? Okay.
No.
Yeah, and I was going to mention this during the chairman's report, but this is as good time as any that I've really had some good conversations with our mayors in the the northern Plano, Yorkville, Oswego about doing some projects together as with the county, and this is just one of those projects that is kind of moving forward already where it can save money, but also makes it more sense from a public safety perspective. And we can do a lot of good things if we're communicating and working together on some of these things. And so thanks, Fran actually I give you credit for kind of coming up with this idea to begin with, so thanks for it. I think it makes a lot of sense. And we did have a Yorkville alderman that came out to our highway committee meeting because he wanted to learn more, and then Fran is going to head over there tonight to talk to the rest of that committee, so thank you for that. So roll call.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. Finance, Mr. Kellogg.
Make a motion to approve claims in amount not to exceed $880,722. And additional pedicure claims for May 2019 in amount not to exceed $264.16.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, was there a second?
Yep.
Yes.
Ms. Sesich, discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve bond refinancing for GO bond series 2010 and series 2011.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks.
This is something we did 2 years ago with some of our other bonds and saved a significant amount of money. These bonds won't save quite as much, just the difference in the interest rates isn't anticipated to be as great as in the past. One difference from the bonds before, we smoothed out the payments because they they moved substantially over the years up and down. These bonds are pretty level in the payments, so we're not going to do anything other than to refinance.
Any questions on this? Ms. Hendricks?
Did we decide to do the backload then, or?
That's something we can decide.
Over there.
Yeah, that's something we can decide later. This is the early stages when we're going to engage with an underwriter, and then also work through the bond ratings call. But I believe the thought was to do the even amount throughout, and then we'll finish it out, but that's something that we can definitely discuss.
What Member Hendricks is referring to is we have different options with the bonds that we could basically take the savings annually and each year be about the same, or we can backload them and actually pay off the bonds. I think it was 6 months earlier. It wasn't a years earlier. It was a smaller amount. So whether we want to save the money each budget year or we want to backload it, that's a discussion we'll be having. But there's a certain window to refinance the bonds, and we need to get the process started now to meet in that window.
Mr. Keppel?
Just something I want to note, this is not the final vote for the refinancing of the bonds. This is just the board saying it's okay for administration and SPEAR to move forward with engaging with everybody to get the process started. There will be another vote with this ordinance that has to happen. That'll be around September.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to discuss. The cost of the process is built into the savings that were presented. The one thing, if we were to come and the bond market changed substantially from what Spear Financial is telling us, we would have the underwriting cost or the ratings charge for it, and I think it was $15,000 was the number they spoke about in finance. So that's what we're risking, is $15,000 if they are completely wrong in their assessment. I don't believe they are. They were very conservative the last time we refinance bonds, and it came in substantially better than they had forecasted. So I'm not worried about the upfront cost if it were to fall apart or fail.
Ms. Hendricks?
And also, that actually, even if that were to happen, it actually gives us another 3 months within to work on doing that refinancing again. And that fee would have already been paid. So we have to pay that fee regardless. But if we miss that deadline that he's talking about, that would incur the full fee, regardless of us refinancing or not, it actually extends the timeline that we're working under, the legal timeline that we're bound to, by another 3 months. So it's not really as punitive or as costly as it might sound like, because it will actually give us time then to realize the savings, as it extends the timeline that we can take to refinance those bonds. I just want to make that clear so people don't think it's $15,000 out the window. It's not.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Gangler?
Yeah.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
All ayes. It just occurred to me we didn't have this separate, I was looking for the separate breakout for the
car. Mm-hmm.
So we are treating him as though he's not here.
Funny.
One other item on your desks, and we can make this available to public, but you have your annual budget review timeline. In your original budget from last year, there's a timeline in the back. I know you've all read it cover to cover, but that timeline was kind of outdated. They're updated here of kind of our goals of when we want to have things in line so that we can get the budget and levies passed in a timely manner. It's basically updated because our unknown always is the health insurance, and we're kind of moving the dates to face reality of what we have to deal with in those months. One thing you won't see in there, we will be talking about capital items, capital projects. We're going to try and ask department heads, elected officials, to have any capital requests in earlier than we have in the past. Just the way the process worked with my predecessor, it seemed like the capital projects were the last thing we looked at instead of putting it up at the front. This will also give Mr. Smiley time to give us more accurate numbers on some of the capital projects. It also, one thing to note is that if a capital project was not approved, it was on if your capital project was on the five-year plan but was not approved by us, you still need to bring that forward as a capital item you want. And when I say capital items, I mean anything with structural changes or significant costs that are above what Mr. Smiley can approve as an individual. So repairs, maintenance, those things are not capital. Capital is purchasing, remodeling, projects like that. We want to get them in there. And also, that doesn't mean projects that, you know, some of the departments have budgets for, or some of the electeds have their own budgets for. This is a capital plan, so regardless of the funding, we also need to know those items so that the facilities committee can schedule Mr. Smiley's time and make sure he can get done what we approve. So we'll be working on that.
Great. Animal control.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will make a motion for the approval of the animal control fees ordinance.
Motion by Sesich, seconded by Flowers. Any discussion?
Yeah, this is on page 85, the ordinance. We talked about this just now. Fees have not gone up for ladies' tags for quite some time. So after analyzing everything and, you know, coordinating with our increase of wages and things like that with the minimum wage. So this was sort of necessary to do.
Because our animal control is fully self-funded.
Yep.
It doesn't come out of the general fund. And right. This is how we afford that.
Right.
Okay. Other comments, questions? Roll call.
Mr. Giles.
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore.
Yes.
Mr. Grader.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Sesich.
Yes.
Ms. Flowers.
Aye.
Mr. Gangler.
Yes. All ayes. Thank you. Anything else on animal control? I know you just had some.
Yeah, we just, we actually last Wednesday started our inmate work program. So that's gotten a lot of positive feedback. You know, thanks for Sheriff Dwight and Commander Richardson put that together with me, and hopefully that
there.
it's done really well.
They were
well.
Both here. I don't see Commander Richardson, but
yeah,
Sheriff, do you care
Bobby
to add anything
left.
On this topic?
No, just have your partner got good feedback from the inmates as well.
Oh, good. So you did get good feedback, yeah. They'll be able to get community service hours, so we work with parole to do that. But from what I've seen, it's gotten a lot of really good feedback, and people are excited about the program. It benefits animal control facility as well as the inmates, so I think it's just everybody wins with this. And we are, you know, hoping to really improve that building, get rid of the trailer. So we have some really exciting things happening at animal control. they're all like positive things, so I think that's, you know, it's good for that department for a change. So.
Thank you. Speaking of exciting changes, Scott, you did pass out the order chart for
yes.
admin.
Do
you have it in front of you? Do you have it in front of you? Do you want to highlight what the change that was just made? Real quick?
Yes. So in your bottom right hand corner, underneath technology and GIS, there is the GIS coordinator, and now we have two GIS or cadastral GIS specialists.
Thank you. All right, may I have a motion to approve standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Flowers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special committee reports, VAC. Is there anything going on there right now, Scott, to your knowledge?
I've not received anything.
Thank you. KenCom, Mr. Chaska.
Finance committee meets on Thursday.
UCCI and other state organizations, Mr. Chaska.
Mr. Chairman, the registration for the United Counties Council of Illinois' July conference is still open. Any board members looking, or elected officials or department heads looking at going, please let me know, or let Valerie know and she can help with the registration. ISACO just had their board meeting and was very happy with how the county's legislative agenda turned out. Not necessarily with everything that happened down there, but for once the General Assembly did not mess with local governments as much as they normally do.
Thank you. Historic preservation, Ms. Flowers?
We met last night, and we have our ordinance. Most of that is completed, and we are sending that off for review. If no changes are made, it will come directly to the board for voting. And then we discussed our preservation awards. It has been attached to Chavalon the Green. It's all good.
Oh,
we have
nice.
A picture here. This is going to go on our website. Once we get all of that done through through the website ordinance through HR. So we'll get all that done. And then we are talking about discussion for our officers in the upcoming year. So we'll have some more information on that. And just moving forward with some community events. We're going to start coordinating some of that for the summer. And so we're moving forward.
Great. Questions on that? Juvenile Justice Council, Judy.
Yeah, thank you. I want to tell the board what the profit was from the Sky race that we did this year. And in spite of the weather, we had a really successful race. The profits were $10,982.71. So with that money, we were able to, the two scholarship winners that were here this morning. We also support several schools' truancy programs. And then I just want to read over the names of the school groups. Kendall County Operation Snowball, Oswego High School Bionic Club, Yorkville High School Tri Club, Oswego East High School Talk, Plano High School, and Newark High School Talk program. So, you know, that's what we do with the money, and just want to thank all of you that on the board that supported the Sky Race. It was, like I said, terrible weather, but a lot of people came out, and it was a good time. So,
great. Questions on that? Good. Thanks, Judy. Other business? Chairman's report. May I have a motion to approve Scott Gangler, Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee, term expiring November 30th, 2020. Scott Gangler, Kendall County Administrative and Human Resources Committee, replacing Scott Kreider. That's not confusing. term expiring November 30th, 2020. Scott Gangler, Kendall County Animal Control Committee, term expiring November 30th, 2020. Scott Gangler, Kendall County Labor and Grievance Committee, term expiring November 30th, 2020. Scott Gangler, Kendall County Health and Environment Committee, term expiring November 30th, 2020. Scott Kreider, Kendall County Finance Committee, term expiring November 30th, 2020. And Matthew Kellogg, Kendall County Finance Committee Chairman, term expiring November 30th, 2020.
So moved.
Motion by Sessage.
Second.
Seconded by Vickers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And I, as I said before, we're really in a great opportunity right now with, and we always have been, but for whatever reason, having a couple of new faces, I think, has kind of reinvigorated the idea of us all working together. And I've had some really good conversations. There's something in Oswego, which I'm not ready to talk about publicly yet, but there's there's something over there too, which we've been talking about a little bit as well. So. In addition to the mill road that you heard about earlier with Yorkville. So, there's some good stuff, some good opportunities, I think, out there. And, so that's how I put that. Public comment. You say your name for the record, and you'll have 5 minutes.
Todd Miller, Yorkville. Welcome aboard, Scott.
Thanks, Todd.
I think you went through this process once before in Yorkville and didn't quite have the outcome that we had here today. So. It's all about politics, and I thought you deserved to get that position number two. That said, you changed the rules of order for the sport. That consent agenda can be a very slippery slope, so I would encourage you all to really do your due diligence on that consent agenda before voting on it, because I have seen from my experience of attending open meetings, different government bodies, that if you have a consent agenda, it is a quick and easy way to slide something through without any discussion, without any debate. So, if there is a question about something on the consent agenda, do not hesitate to have it removed and put on the regular agenda for discussion. I encourage you all to think about that.
Thank you. I know that we don't reply to our public comments, and I'm not replying to that as such, but I wanted to say this comment earlier when we voted on it. I struggled with it with it a little bit too, for the reason Amy brought it up at the last meeting. You know, transparency is something that we all ran on, and I was concerned that there is that opportunity for things to maybe slip through. So the way that this works is that, you know, if any one of you has an issue, you can pull it off of there. So if you have a question at all, you know, please let it be known, and we will pull it off, and we'll have our full, you know, debate on that specific.
It requires item. You to look at the agenda and packet before the meeting
Right. Be prepared.
Yeah.
Questions from the press.
Jim Wine at WSBY. My question would be along the same lines: does the public have the ability to request that an item be taken out of the consent agenda and put on the regular agenda?
The public can always request whatever they'd like, but it has to be a board member to actually pull it off.
Okay. I want to echo what Todd said, that I've experienced problems with consent agenda items being hidden. Local school board would probably be the first example where certain items like administrator contracts and things like that are put in there and then just passed. And I would urge the board to look closely at those consent agenda items. Thank you.
Thank you. Executive session, I don't believe there's a need. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. We're like, what?
Motion made by Gengler, seconded by by Sessage. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right. Had to get you in the minutes.